This story is going to encompass in reverse order. An ironic turn of events. A plug for a Reader's Theater show that our friend Jill Turnbow is going to be doing in June. It's a ways away, but you can start thinking about it. An example of how sometimes my creative life spills over into my technical life. A prominent social issue and a state and national and global crisis. All in 8 minutes or less. So let's begin. 60 Minutes did a story last Sunday. They devoted the segment to groundwater depletion. And they showed maps of how severe the situation is, in particular in California, but all over the world, really. But we're really feeling it in California. We read about it every day in the news. Now, most of my career in the environmental industry has dealt with issues of groundwater, in particular groundwater contamination. I've been involved with putting in test wells, analyzing the water, taking samples, assessing the severity of the problem, cleaning up the groundwater. And this past year, anecdotal evidence has proven what 60 Minutes said. Groundwater depletion is very bad. We measure the groundwater level in the wells we test and everything, and they are indeed at the lowest levels on record ever since people have been starting gathering water levels. So it is an environmental crisis that we need to pay attention to. Now, what's that have to do with me? That's the national and state and global crisis part of the story. Groundwater contamination brought me to Phoenix several years back. Our Phoenix office was a little bit shorthanded, and they needed somebody to supervise the drilling of several wells at several gas stations in Phoenix. Gas stations, if they were built pre-1990 or so, all had a history of groundwater contamination. The tanks leaked, pipes leaked, and it would get so bad, sometimes there'd be several feet of gasoline floating on top of the water table. And so I arrived in Phoenix. It was in May, late May, and it was starting to warm up there, as it does in Phoenix. It was about 90 degrees at that time on a daily basis. I was to be there for a week to supervise drilling of several wells over several gas stations. I was briefed by the project manager. She told me how many wells we're going to be putting in each spot, how deep the wells would be, how we were going to construct the wells, so on and so forth. And it was all very routine, something, task that I had performed many times before through the years. Nothing was surprising to me. And then she said something that was surprising to me, that was not routine. She said, by the way, the drill crew you're going to be working with, you'll be working with them all week. There's the lead driller, Daniel, and his two helpers. They're a really good drill crew. They'll do good by you. But there's something I need to tell you. Daniel, the lead driller, is openly gay, and he will let you know that he's openly gay. And I'm just telling you this so you're not surprised. And I'm from the west coast of California, so it wasn't an issue for me, but I was surprised because every other drill crew I had worked with all through the years, the lead driller had been a man with a strong streak of machismo, some more intense on the spectrum than others. Never had I worked with a lead driller who was openly gay and was not afraid to tell you about it. So I said, okay. Now, I was interested in this because one of the things I love doing is just observing people, observing the behavior of people. When I was a kid, I used to just love to go to the airport just to sit there, not to go anywhere, but just to watch the people going back and forth and seeing how people behaved. And I was interested in Daniel, the lead driller, and his interaction with the two helpers that he had who were not openly gay, and just see how they worked together and just what the interaction would be. So we started our project, and I soon discovered that they were indeed a really good drill crew, one of the best that I worked with. And very quickly, the job just fell into a routine. There was no different interaction between them. Daniel was the lead driller. He told his helpers what to do. They did a good job of it, just like every other job that I had. There was really no issue at all. Now, the helpers, they didn't really change their behavior because of Daniel. They would still take long looks at pretty girls that walked by, or they would tell dirty jokes to each other, and Daniel would just always click his teeth and say, "You heterosexuals." But he was a good lead driller. Now, oftentimes when I travel and work in other places, I like to, especially places I haven't been, I like to, after work, explore a little bit, which I hadn't been to Phoenix before. And so one night after work, I started driving to Sedona, in the direction of Sedona, just to see how far I could get until I got too late and I turned back around. Another night, I ate at a restaurant that had by far the best Mexican food I've ever eaten, and I've grown up in California, so that's saying a lot. And then the last night, before our last day there, I decided to see a play, go to the theater. So this is where the creative spills over into my technical. And just kind of check out the theater scene in Phoenix. So I decided to go to a play called The Goat, or Who is Sylvia? This is the plug part of the show that Jill is going to be directing in June. And it's a play written by Edward Albee, who is probably best known for the play Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And I went and saw it, and it was great. Now, this play, it's not surprising to see people leave in the middle of it. You kind of have to be ready for it. It explores some issues that are twisted, to say the least. And but I enjoyed it. I really liked it. There was a lot of issues in the play. There was a clever way of approaching the issues, so on and so forth. And so the next day was my last day working with Daniel and his two helpers. And it got to be noon, and we sat around eating lunch and just started. We were talking just like every lunch. We just talked, and they asked me, "Well, what did you do the night before?" And I said, "Well, I went to go see this play." And for, you know, they thought, "Oh, really? That was kind of unusual, first of all, because there's not too many people that supervise drillers that go to the theater in Phoenix." And they said, "Well, what was it?" And I said, "Oh, it was a play called The Goat, or Who is Sylvia?" And they said, "Oh, what was it about?" And so I started telling them the story of The Goat, or Who is Sylvia. I said, "Oh, it's about a middle-class family. It's a husband and a wife, and their son, who's gay. And it's about how the husband falls in love with a goat." This is the part where people start leaving the theater. And this is the part when Daniel and his two helpers just kind of did the dog thing. Huh? Huh? And I continued telling them about this story about how his wife discovered that he was having an affair with a goat because he was just totally infatuated in love with this goat. And his son just couldn't take it. He would just, and the husband was just chiding his son. He said, "Well, you're gay." And he said, "Well, at least I'm not in love with livestock," and so on and so forth. And the entire time I'm telling this story, Daniel and his helpers are just going, ooh. "You're kidding me. That is sick." And by the time I got to the ending of the part, which you'll have to see the show in June to hear the ending. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to spoil the surprise tonight. But by the time I got done with that story, they just were like, "That is just the grossest." Daniel and his two helpers just couldn't be more disgusted. And I soon discovered that the ironic turn of events, instead of me looking at them and their behavior interacting, the interaction between two heterosexual helpers and an openly gay man, which turned out to be nothing. Instead, he was turned around and they were looking at me, this person who went to this bizarre play and who enjoyed it and is describing it to it. And that's my story.